Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Did you know the Natural News Store saves you money on superfoods, preparedness products, and more? Visit ShopNaturalNews.com to start saving right now on herbal medicine kits, Sovereign Silver, Enter Food Superfood products, organic storable foods for preparedness, astaxanthin, chia seeds, coconut sugar, and much more. Everything in the store is personally selected by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, so you can shop with confidence while avoiding GMOs, MSG, chemical additives, and other ingredients found in products sold elsewhere. Visit ShopNaturalNews.com to get started on your savings. Orders of $99 or more are shipped free in the continental USA. And we have live customer support ready to help via phone, text, chat, or email. A percentage of all sales are donated to important causes for food freedom, farm freedom, and health freedom. Most recently, the Natural News Store donated $10,000 to help support the GMO labeling Proposition 37 in California. More donations will be announced on a regular basis. Visit ShopNaturalNews.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
This is Mental Health Exposed on Natural News Radio with Mike Bundrant.
Welcome to Mental Health Exposed. I'm your host, Mike Bundrant. You're listening to the Natural News Radio Network, and I'm thrilled to bring you a show about depression today. We're going to talk about yoga for depression and talk to Amy Weintraub, one of the country's most talented yoga teachers, author of a couple of very interesting books with practical tools in them for you. Also, later in the show, we're going to talk to Dr. Wes Youngberg, a specialist in lifestyle medicine. He's going to talk all about natural ways that you can approach treating depression from a nutritional perspective, and as well as things that your doctor should be doing according to medical protocol before prescribing an antidepressant to you. So these are all some of the topics that we're going to have on the show today. Great to have you with us. And as always, our gratitude goes out to Natural News, to Mike Adams and staff for hosting this alternative radio platform that's getting over 1 million downloads a month. It's really wonderful to be part of this, of the network. And want to invite you to go to the INLP Center to watch our free video called The AHA Process, which is the process that really is groundbreaking. I guarantee that you've never seen anything like this before. If self-sabotage has ever occurred to you in any way, shape, or form as possibly a problem that you might have, if you feel like you get in your own way some of the time, go to the INLPcenter.com and put your email address in, download our free video that is called The Aha Process. I guarantee, absolutely guaranteed, or your money back. Of course, the video is free, but you just haven't seen anything like this before. It's new. So go there and enjoy that video called The Aha Process. And we're going to, in just a moment here, welcome our first guest, Amy Weintraub, to talk a little bit about how yoga can help with depression. So, in her approach, you'll be surprised to learn over a period of time here the kind of results that Deborah gets. I don't know how she does it, but I know she does it. So that's our lineup on the show here for you today. I want to thank the Natural News Radio Network, which, by the way, is getting over 1 million downloads a month. It's amazing. It's just growing in leaps and bounds. There is, if you want to get a daily update of the shows here at Natural News Radio, then just go to naturalnewsradio.com. You can find a little place to put in your email address, and you'll receive an email that has an update of the shows. Some of the shows are daily shows. Other shows are updated weekly. Put your email address in. You'll get a daily email that shows the changes in lineups on a day-to-day basis, so you don't miss information that you would like to see. All right, our first guest is Amy Weintraub, author of the books Yoga for Depression and Yoga Skills for Therapists. You can find Amy at yogafordepression.com. Welcome to the show, Amy. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to be here. Now, happy to be here.
How do you how does yoga fit in terms of depression and elevating mood and so forth?
Well, on many levels, what we're finding is that Western science is corroborating what yogis understood thousands of years ago based on the research they did with their bodies and passed from master to student for thousands of years. They understood this without fMRIs and SPECT scans and biochemical measurements and psychosocial measurements. But now that we have all those tools, what we're seeing is that the on a number of levels, the breathing practices, for example, the sound, the universal tones that we make, research is showing that what that does is, amongst many other advantages and benefits, is it stimulates the vagal nerve. The vagal nerve is the longest, it's a long nerve that goes from the back of the neck to the perineum, and it affects things like digestion and heart rate and even affects the brain because it regulates the parasympathetic and the sympathetic autonomic nervous system. So what happens is, when the vagal nerve is stimulated through these yogic practices, then the parasympathetic, which is the calming, cooling, releasing side of the autonomic nervous system, gets kicked in, and we relax, we feel more at ease, calmer, mind is calmer, and what the other thing that happens is the limbic brain, which is the emotional brain consisting of the amygdala at the core and the hippocampus, which is responsible for linear memory, they become deactivated, which is a really good thing, because when we're stressed, when we're depressed, when we're anxious, when we've had a history of trauma, there's often an overstimulation to that poor little amygdala, to that limbic brain, that emotional brain. So when we're practicing yogic strategies, and not just asana, not just postures, but the pranayama breathing, mudras, mantras, what that does is sends soothing messages to the limbic brain. When I do trainings for psychotherapists and yoga teachers, I say, you know, yoga teachers learn ways of becoming amygdala whisperers. You know, it's a way of soothing and calming. When we're taking deep breaths, you know, what happens too, another aspect besides the vagal nerve is that when we're stressed or when we're scared, the psoas muscle, which is the only muscle of the body that goes from the top of the body to the bottom of the body, from the front of the body to the back of the body, it's right at the core. It just sort of seizes up. It draws back, and we get this tightening in the hips and the whole core gets tight. And what happens is that that impacts, that also constricts the diaphragm. So we're not able to take a deep enough breath to relax. And what research is showing is that in order to stimulate the parasympathetic, to relax and to deepen and to de-stress, we need to take deep breaths down into the bottom of the lungs and let that breath out slowly. So what happens when we're constricted like that physically is that that's really hard to do. So with yoga, both the asana postures that open and stretch and the emphasis on deep, regulated breathing down to the bottom of the lungs, we begin to cultivate a breathing practice that allows the psoas muscle to begin to relax and the diaphragm to have more expansion and contraction. So there's a cooling, calming effect simply from the yogic breathing. And then the messages of yoga, when we're practicing with attention to sensation in the body and to the breath, are what happens then is that we begin to come into the present moment, because the body is always present. The mind is a time traveler. It's going to jump around. It's going to go backwards into story. It's going to go forward into fear or hope. And when we're focusing on the breath and the sensations in the body, we are presence. We are that presence we seek. So what that provides the practitioner is a window through whatever mood state is visiting, a window through whatever story we're telling ourselves about our lives or the world. There's that moment of presence. And as we continue to practice on a regular basis, those moments expand in our lives, and we carry that sense of presence with us, not just in the moments on the mat, but off the mat. We're more resilient. We're less reactive to the challenges that we're always going to face in life.
I got to tell you, when you recently you sent me a little, you emailed me an exercise, a breathing exercise to do. That involve, I don't remember the technical name of it. I just remember that you said it, and it's commonly referred to as the Darth Vader breath. That when I practiced it, in fact, I wrote an article. I put this in an article on naturalnews.com because I was so impressed that within probably 10 seconds of doing this particular breathing technique, I was more relaxed than I'd remembered being in days. That the results were very, very quick. Now, when you talk about this, sort of, as you talked about how our core gets, becomes constricted and sort of contracts the body. I just imagine this big rubber band from head to toe that is all wound up tight and it needs to unwind. But that's not something that happens quickly, right? As a way of being in the world, it takes a little practice, I imagine. And so what kind of protocol, what kind of results over time can people expect, and for what kind of daily time investment?
That's a really good question, Mike, and I'm going to surprise you with my answer, which is that both based on research and just anecdotal evidence, that within, just as you expressed, you did a few minutes of Ujjayi, or, you know, ocean sounding breath, and felt the effects. What happens is just one yoga session reduces the cortisol levels in the body, for example, activates GABA, and other, hormones and, nutrients for the brain. One session, you're going to feel different. You're going to feel better. However, it's going to wear off. It may wear off. It may not wear off for 24 hours. You may feel the effects for 24 hours after just one yoga session, but it will wear off, which is why we need to practice again. So, you know, you don't take Effexor, Prozac, or Celexa, or, you know, any of the SSRIs, or any antidepressant once a week. You take it every day. So there needs to be a consistent daily practice. Now, if you're new to yoga, that doesn't mean that you need to have an hour and a half or 2 hour practice every day. That's great if you want to do that, and you can. But if you're new, if you take 10 minutes in the morning to do some of the breathing practices that I suggest in my books, and I have CDs and DVDs that are on the website, lots of resources. If you take 10 minutes to do something, you're going to clear the space. You're going to feel less constricted inside, and you're going to feel the benefits throughout the day. And if they start to wear off, if you start to go into a slump around 3 o'clock, well, instead of getting a cup of coffee or doing something else that may not be as healthy as you wish, try another breathing practice for 5 minutes and notice the difference. So you will have an immediate effect. However, in terms of coming off medication, let's say, I would say it takes a long time for the biochemistry to actually change, and it's really important. I tell people who come to my weekend workshops that they're going to feel brighter and lighter, by Sunday. You know, if they come Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, by Sunday afternoon, they're going to feel brighter and lighter and so much clearer. Do not go to cold. There's going to be an impulse to say, I don't need my medication. I feel great. I'm just going to do this every day. Do not do that. Because as we know, especially with the SSRIs, they're really hard to their withdrawal is withdrawal from an SSRI can feel as painful as the depression or worse. So it needs to be very, very slowly titrated along with a daily practice. And again, it doesn't have to be an hour and a half. It can be 10 minutes to begin, and you may wish to do more. And it should be supervised by the prescribing physician so that you're also being witnessed as you, you know, you think you're feeling better, but you don't want to spiral into a darker place in 3 weeks when that SSRI leaves your system.
You, in your book, I'm looking at in front of me here, Yoga Skills for Therapists. You talk about yogic self-inquiry. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that's something that I think to begin, it really is fun to do it with a coach, someone who knows how to do these non-dual practices. Or to go and do it at a workshop. I teach them at workshops. And then once you've learned it, you can do it yourself. And, you know, you might be able to do it just based on reading that in the book. There are scripts in the book for it so that you can do it, and you can do it as a writing exercise. But it really helps to have a witness the first time you do it. And what those are good for, they're based on the non-dual systems of yoga, Advaita Vedanta, Kashmir Shaivism, which hold that although the world is full of polarities, you know, opposites of, you know, weakness and strength and loss and abundance and grief and joy, that there is something larger that embraces all of it, and that through yogic through both self-inquiry, yogic self-inquiry, but also through the yogic breathing, we get to that place of spaciousness that is so much bigger than the constriction of either of the polarities, you know, because sometimes when we're happy, you know, we cling to that happiness. Oh, this relationship's so good. And then we start clinging, and the clinging is the source of the suffering, or the job or the identity. We cling. And by the other token, you know, if something's really negative, we avoid, we constrict, that's called aversion. And we create walls. And again, we're constricting ourselves. We're not open and spacious. So the self-inquiry techniques help us come into that spacious place that embraces the negatives and the positives. And some of them have been studied that are extremely good for post-traumatic stress disorder. One example would be the practice of yoga nidra, or eye rest, which through a deep lying down relaxation, deep relaxation, we then explore the opposites. Once the body, mind, breath is relaxed, we explore the opposites of sensation, cold, warm, heavy, light, uncomfortable, comfortable, and the opposites of emotion. You know, happy, sad, etc. Opposites of belief, not good enough, brilliant, you know, back and forth. And then we step back into a spacious awareness, ananda, bliss, that the facilitator who is leading the yoga nidra takes the practitioner into. And there are many recordings of yoga nidras. I have one on my website. I have three actually, and one. But there are a number of very good practices that help people through a deep practice of relaxation. Another one would be self-inquiry through the question, "Who am I?" and to just be present to what arises. And third one would be to explore, let's say you're stuck with a really dark, negative emotion or belief about yourself, I'll never be good enough to do X, Y, Z, or there's something wrong with me, or I don't belong here, or something, you know, that's really, really hard. And it's taking you down, it's bringing you grief, it's keeping you stuck. So what we do with that is we breathe deeply into it. We really allow ourselves to feel it. We feel it in the body. Where is it in the body? Does it have a color? Does it have an emotion? We stay present with it. We feel it. We let the emotion be present. We don't tamp it down. We let ourselves cry if there are tears. And then after remaining in that state, in that embodied state of that negative belief, we then go to the most far-fetched opposite. We're not talking about, oh, I'm good enough. We're talking about like far-fetched fantasy, like I'm the king, or you know, mm-hmm. I'm the goddess, or what, you know, and we see an image for that, and we breathe into it and find it in the body, and we really feel it, really get. Then we go back and forth a little bit. Go back and forth and back to that negative place, and then we come into that spacious place that allows both to exist, and perhaps a third in the middle idea or belief arises that kind of embraces, that accepts both polarities. And research too, again, there's a study that was done last year by a researcher named Phelps, it's on my website, but has shown, and ACT therapy is based on this too, and a lot of cognitive therapy is based on this too, is that if we can hang out in the negative without trying to be Pollyanna and skip over to the positive, but if we can let ourselves hang out there, then it has less impact. Then we go to the positive, and we go back to the negative. The negative has less of a grip on us. So there's research that shows that that's true. And the yogis understood that thousands of years ago. So they have these non-dual strategies, these self-inquiry strategies that we can do as writing exercises. But as I said, it sometimes helps to have someone working with you doing it one-on-one or in a workshop setting the first time you do it, so that you get a feeling for it.
I agree. I think the integrating polarities that you're talking about is mm-hmm. nice, because I think the negative side, I mean, if we're depressed, sort of, you know, walking, you know, living our life under a dark cloud, that dark cloud has a certain gravity. It has a certain attraction to us, mm-hmm. because it's familiar. It's what we call home, and stepping mm-hmm. outside. But that's why I think people can start a practice like yoga and immediately feel better and then give it up. Just somehow mm-hmm. find a way not to do it and gravitate back toward that dark cloud because that's what's familiar. It's sort of like, who would I be without this dark cloud? And so I like how you're exploring both sides of it and then go to the absolute opposite and come back and find a place in mm-hmm. between. It seems really important.
Yes. And I love what you say, because so many people, especially artists, you know, and I've been a fiction writer for, I was a depressed fiction writer for many years, but there's a sense of like the angst. That's where the true, creativity arises from. Who am I if I'm a painter and I don't feel this angst? Then I'm just a Pollyanna, supercilious sort of person.
Right.
And there were judgments about feeling too good. so it's allowing both polarities and loving that part. And that part may be the source of some very good novels, characters in novels. So
sure.
Loving that part, but not sinking in and getting stuck there.
Yeah, I agree. If you have permission to feel bad when you feel bad, and you have permission to feel good when you can mm-hmm. feel good, and then you're not living mm-hmm. in a state of resisting necessarily. And so that's great. Well, listen, I also just want to point out one thing. This book, Yoga Skills for Therapists, you don't need to be a therapist for this. This is very much a self-help book, is it not?
Yes. I mean, W.W. Norton asked me to write it for the professional market. However, it's got 52 pictures and a bunch of, lots and lots of practices, so anyone can use it.
Very much step by step through a number of different modalities here that seem very helpful. Well, listen, this is really great. And you are, in terms of Yoga for Depression, your book, and yogafordepression.com, this seems like such a positive step forward for anyone. And again, the results, as you say, and as I've experienced, are very, very quick. I mean, it's literally within a minute. You can be feeling better. Now, you're going to need to have those minutes frequently. But that's the whole idea, right, is that you manage
Absolutely.
Yourself throughout the day. It seems like such a valuable contribution.
And what it is that, what therapists love is that they can teach tools to their clients, and the clients can then self-manage. They can self-regulate. They don't have to call up in the middle of the week in a crisis, because they know they've got this 3-minute tool that they can use to calm down or to rev up the energy. It's about meeting the mood wherever it is and bringing it into balance.
Okay, Amy Weintraub, author of the books Yoga for Depression, Yoga Skills for Therapists. You can find her at yogafordepression.com. Listen, thanks for joining us on the show. I'd love to have you back sometime.
Love to come back, Mike. Thank you. It's been wonderful.
You are listening to Mental Health Exposed on Natural News Radio, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Did you know the Natural News Store saves you money on superfoods, preparedness products, and more? Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving right now on herbal medicine kits, sovereign silver, Enter Foods superfood products, organic storable foods for preparedness, astaxanthin, chia seeds, coconut sugar, and much more. Everything in the store is personally selected by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, so you can shop with confidence while avoiding GMOs, MSG, chemical additives, and other ingredients found in products sold elsewhere. Visit ShopNaturalNews.com to get started on your savings. Orders of $99 or more are shipped free in the continental USA. And we have live customer support ready to help via phone, text, chat, or email. A percentage of all sales are donated to important causes for food freedom, farm freedom, and health freedom. Most recently, the Natural News Store donated $10,000 to help support the GMO labeling Proposition 37 in California. More donations will be announced on a regular basis. Visit ShopNaturalNews.com.
The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
You're listening to Mental Health Exposed with Mike Bundrant on Natural News Radio.
Okay, we're here with Dr. Wes Youngberg of DrYoungberg.com. That's DrYoungberg.com, author of the book Goodbye Diabetes. Thanks for being with us again, Wes.
Good to be on your show, Mike.
Now, the show is about natural methods or natural ways of working with depression. And, you know, when I spoke with you last time, you mentioned that there are certain guidelines that conventional medical doctors are supposed to follow in order to prescribe an antidepressant medication. I was completely unaware of this. I mean, I'm aware of how people can go to a medical doctor and it seems like they're giving out antidepressants like candy.
Right.
But I was just curious if you'd share with us what some of those guidelines are that they're supposed to be following.
Right. Yeah. Well, Mike, as you know, I'm a lifestyle medicine specialist. I do nutritional medicine. And so I don't do any prescriptive medicine at all, which is the way I want it.
Right.
But I've worked for over 20 years in large medical groups where there is, you know, many medical doctors. And they've actually come to me and said, hey, you know, we're kind of concerned here because, you know, we got 10, 15 minutes per patient and they're coming in depressed or anxious and so it's just natural for us to just pull out that prescriptive pad and basically suggest to him, I'm gonna solve all your problems. I'm just going to write this prescription for a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or some type of medicine that potentially will help them feel better. But, of course, it's not addressing the underlying cause of the problem. And so very similar to, for instance, high blood pressure or hypertension, a doctor, who if somebody comes in with high blood pressure, they shouldn't just automatically pull out their prescriptive pad and prescribe a blood pressure medication. They should be asking questions. You know, why is this blood pressure high in the first place? And they have to rule out all the potentially very dangerous reasons why it could be high and address those first. In other words, address the cause of the problem. Well, there's no difference as you're dealing with depression. The diagnostic guidelines for depression specifically stipulate that you have to rule out whether there is a problem with the thyroid. If that patient who comes in to see you, who's depressed, if they have a low thyroid function, if there's something wrong with thyroid activity, then that has to be fixed first before you just start treating the symptom without having any idea of what the cause of the symptoms might be. And so naturally in the field of lifestyle and nutritional medicine, our focus is trying to figure out what's actually missing. What are the contributing factors to developing that symptom as opposed to just putting a big Band-Aid on that symptom and people feeling good about that? But as we know, a lot of people, even on those medicines, still have a lot of problems, a lot of symptoms. And so eventually we still need to get back to the core of the concern, and that is, what caused this in the first place?
And in your experience, how many people who are depressed have thyroid issues?
Actually, it's not minimal. There's the problem with thyroid is that there's a lot of controversy within the medical community and even in the alternative medicine community about what you do with that. One of the challenges, Mike, is that the accepted reference range for a normal thyroid is way too large. And it's based on a reference range for a hormone that's not even a thyroid hormone. It's a pituitary hormone. So the only test that the vast majority of physicians will check is called the TSH, or the thyroid stimulating hormone. And if that falls within roughly 0.5 and 4.5, depending on the lab, the doctor will say, well, you're fine. Okay, I had a patient just this morning who's been told her thyroid's fine, when in fact, she has a strong family history of problems with thyroid and autoimmune conditions. And that right there is a huge clue as to why she's depressed. And so rather than just going the normal, well, we'll just write a script for this, we got to get to the core issues of what's causing the problem. So the new standards, actually the studies, you know, we're talking about evidence-based. The actual evidence-based medical studies show that 97.5% of individuals who have no obvious thyroid abnormality upon a physical should have a TSH level that's below 2.5. Okay, in other words, half of the range that's considered normal is actually abnormal. So therein lies part of the problem, is that so many patients go to their doctor, they have the thyroid test, and they're told, your thyroid is fine, when in fact it's not. And so there should be additional tests that are actual thyroid hormones, like the T4 and the free T3, that actually tell a bigger story, what's actually happening relative to thyroid. And then, Mike, that gets into another condition that is actually a bigger issue relative to depression, and that is the clinical presentation of autoimmune disease. That's huge. That's a major driver of depression when somebody has underlying aberrant immune activity going on, and most of that is undiagnosed.
Is this another area that medical doctors should be testing for?
Well, I don't think right now that there is an actual guideline that's published as the thyroid guideline is published. But it's, in my opinion, absolutely it should be addressed, and we always address it because, you know, unless you fix the underlying cause of the problem, you're never really fixing the problem.
Give me an idea how that works, how this autoimmune scenario plays out and creates depression.
Well, for instance, we just talked about thyroid.
Right.
At full 60% or greater of individuals in the United States with thyroid problems actually have Hashimoto's autoimmune thyroiditis. And what's really interesting is that very few of those individuals are actually diagnosed. Okay, so most people with thyroid problems have an autoimmune thyroid problem, but they don't know it. And so they have two strikes against them. They have a thyroid problem, and they have an autoimmune problem, but they don't even know it. For instance, an autoimmune problem means that your immune system is making antibodies against a tissue, an organ system in your body that causes damage and dysfunction in that organ system. That not only damages that individual area of your body, but it also then has a system-wide impact that is going to influence the nervous system, the neurologic system, and certainly including the brain. And so when we're having problems with the nervous system, with the way the brain works, you know, depression is it directly relates to the brain. And so that means that the brain is actually depressed. Well, of course the brain is going to be depressed if it's being attacked in part by the immune system. So we could make it feel better by giving it a drug while it's constantly being attacked, or we could actually ask the question, well, what can I give the body that makes it less susceptible to autoimmune damage? And that's where we start getting into this plethora of nutritional approaches, like omega-3 strategies, using a purified form of cod liver oil or a purified form of any of the DHA, EPA oils. There are tremendous studies out there that have had such a huge influence on depression. Just giving a therapeutic dose of omega-3 oils has such a powerful impact that the journal of psychiatry, where the journals that published this were saying, this is a landmark study of looking at new drug therapies for treatment of depression. So I was going like, well, wait a minute, this isn't drug therapy. This is using food to fix the underlying deficiency that led to the symptom. That's not a drug. That is a natural remedy.
Is there a way to know whether or not you have a deficiency in omega-3s? Is there a test or something? Or do you just have to start taking a supplement and find out whether or not you feel better?
You know, there are definitely tests that can be used to evaluate the sufficient levels of omega-3s, especially the DHA and EPA. And I've used those tests in the past, but I'll tell you that so many of us are deficient in omega-3s that I essentially recommend it to every single patient I see, and even to just everybody I talk to. They don't even have to be my patient. So I really believe that all of us would benefit by using supplemental sources of EPA and DHA, whether it's the purified fish oil variety or the microalgae variety, which is purely plant-based, although more expensive.
You know, all of this is sort of leads me to a conclusion, which I'm even afraid to say just because of the way things are, but it certainly doesn't seem like medical doctors are the ones who should be treating depression. Again, I'm afraid to say that because it's a liability just to say it. And so now I've got to say, and by the way, don't take that to heart without first checking with your medical doctor or something like that. But, there's a double bind here where one, they routinely don't perform the tests that they should perform. And two, if they do perform it, as in the case of thyroid, the standard test in and of itself is not adequate. And so people really should be turning to other sources to deal with biochemical imbalances.
Yeah, and I've fortunately had the opportunity to work with medical doctors that are really open to this, and they recognize this concern, and so they're either bringing in a collection of other health professionals that can complement what they do, or they are themselves actually promoting either on their website or in their practice the importance of looking at the underlying issues first before we immediately jump to the conclusion that, well, you just need some prescription medication.
So, and by the way, that's a very encouraging trend, if it is one. That's like a breath of fresh air. And give us, if we take it from the top here, say somebody suspects that they're depressed, from an integrative approach like you advocate, what are the top handful of things that people should look into?
Well, for instance, I just spent an hour on a Skype consult with a patient from New York who, 17-year-old girl that has horrible digestive problems, and now is starting to trickle down to all kinds of other symptoms. And so the number one thing that needs to be fixed, especially if there's symptoms, is any digestive problem. Because if somebody has, let's just say your common everyday GERD or, you know, gastroesophageal reflux disease or reflux, acid reflux, or just bloating or gassiness or just digestive problems in general, that will frequently over time manifest itself in other problems based on your genetic and environmental predispositions. So if somebody, for instance, is starting to experience more problems with depression or anxiety or other concerns that relate to neurology or emotional health concerns, one of the first things I look at is I want to make sure I'm not missing anything in terms of dysfunctional gastric physiology.
Okay.
Because if there's bad digestion, you're not going to absorb these essential oils very well. You're not going to absorb magnesium very well. You're not going to control blood sugars very well. Everything starts to fall apart. So that's the first thing that I look at. And, of course, there's a tremendous amount of effective strategies in treating that. And the last point on that is that if somebody's taking these acid-blocking medications, right, these whether it's over-the-counter or prescription, they will make problems worse on average over time and therefore lead to an increased problem with whatever else we're at risk of, including depression.
Okay. So we've covered thyroid, we've covered autoimmune, we've covered digestion. Any other critical factors that you should look at?
Yeah, and you know, one issue that really ties to all those, and that's vitamin D.
Okay.
I frequently see people that, you know, we will test their 25-hydroxy vitamin D blood level. And I had a patient just this morning. She said, well, I had my checked a year ago, and I was told it was fine. Yeah, it was 30.6. Well, anything between 30 and 100 is considered normal, so she was told she was fine. Yeah, but she had a horrible family history of depression and autoimmune disease and thyroid problems. And so I said, for you, that's nowhere near adequate. You need to be more in the 70 to 90 range. And so she was frustrated that that hadn't been explained to her 2-3 years ago when they first checked her vitamin D.
Right.
And so just because you fall into the reference range doesn't mean you're healthy. And besides, common sense would tell us that just because you're in a reference range, that is nowhere near optimal. Okay? You don't want to be average when it comes to health.
Right.
Most people aren't very healthy, so you want to be optimal. So vitamin D, when optimized by using an emulsified form of vitamin D that is especially good for autoimmune disease, that brings the value up very nicely, very quickly, and that in and of itself tremendously improves mood and cognitive function in many individuals.
Okay, so we got thyroid, autoimmune, digestion, vitamin D, optimization. There's four.
Yeah. Well, I briefly pointed out magnesium. There are a tremendous amount of studies that we covered in a previous show that clearly demonstrate that magnesium is really important for over 300 different enzyme systems in the body, many of which are in the brain, the neurologic systems. And that goes back to digestion. If you have poor digestion, you're not absorbing minerals very well, and there goes your magnesium status. Most of us, Mike, have inadequate or less than optimal magnesium in our body, and therefore that would be something to consider to supplement, or at minimum, make sure you're eating whole plant-based foods that are rich in magnesium, like beans, like whole grains and other whole plant foods.
Okay. Any other players on the list?
Wow, you know, there's...
It goes on and on,
so
I'm
many,
sure.
You know, and, of course, we've been touching a lot of nutritional factors there. Obviously, the use of refined foods and the use of sugars and sodas are going to greatly contribute to the blood sugar and insulin dysfunction that can really mess up the neurologic system. That leads us to addressing the issue of not high blood sugars. Individuals with high blood sugars or diabetes are twice as likely to be depressed. People who are depressed are twice as likely to become diabetic. But the flip side of that relative to blood sugars is also true. If your blood sugars tend to run low, if you tend to have what's called reactive hypoglycemia, that's strongly associated with depression and anxiety. And it's because the adrenal glands have lost their reserve capacity. They no longer can kind of kick in and provide the extra adrenaline or extra cortisol necessary to optimize blood sugar levels. So the blood sugars drop, and so that adrenal fatigue needs to be evaluated and properly treated with a balanced diet, with an appropriate lifestyle. But the best test for that, Mike, would be having a 4-hour glucose tolerance test that includes insulin and cortisol testing on top of it. And if somebody wants to look at an article on that, I have articles on my website, dryoungberg.com, in the article section that outlines different labs that I recommend for all my patients who first see me and they have depression or anxiety or any other emotional concerns. I do all these tests and then basically treat the gaps, fill in the gaps, the potholes, if you will, that are interfering with neurologic function. And so that's what we should be doing anytime we see somebody who has symptoms like those, is we need to figure out where is that coming from, do a broad testing, and then fill in the gaps as we go.
I can't imagine that anybody who's feeling depressed consistently that takes an approach where you look at one or all of these factors, I can't imagine that they're not going to start to feel better by addressing them. I mean, how can it not? How can they not start to feel better by addressing those underlying causes?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we've done pre and post testing. I've done a 12-week series on this for many years, and we do pre and post testing by looking at the depression scales, and within actually a week of initiating this comprehensive approach, you get all the tests and just start addressing the deficient areas on their tests, they start feeling better, and part of that is actual physiologic changes, and part of it is finally feeling confident that they're actually doing what is going to work in the long run. They're actually finally on a program that is providing answers as opposed to, I'll just take this medicine and, don't ask too many questions.
I got to tell you, psychologically, I think a lot of people actually have some guilt that they're taking the easy way out by going to a doctor, taking 5 or 10 minutes, getting an antidepressant, and not looking at other factors, not even going to therapy to try to look at some of the psychological causes. And I honestly think people feel a little bit guilty about that. Maybe it's a bit of a stretch, but I actually think that that's true.
Well, the average person, Mike, down deep knows that the cause of their depression isn't the absence of an antidepressant. They know that there's something else going on, and maybe they're just not willing to deal with it right then and there. But of course, once we're starting to talk about the exposure to inadequate nutrition, various addictions in their life, etc., those are not easy things to accept as, okay, I need to start dealing with these now. It takes effort and work on their part. And also, just regular, so many medical conditions that could be contributing to their condition, and unless those conditions are tested for, you're not going to know what to do. And so usually once they're tested for, they go, oh, finally, I actually figured out what was driving my depression. So when I do tests on people and I find out, well, you're actually diabetic, or you have diabetes and you have reactive hypoglycemia during that 4-hour test, and your adrenals are struggling, and you're really low on vitamin D, and you have all these other problems, and they think, oh, this is horrible. I go, no, this is great news.
That's
right. This has been going on, for decades, but you never did the test, so you couldn't change. You can't change something you don't know about.
Right.
And so I said, this is great news. You've been diagnosed with a condition that's going to allow you to reverse your condition.
I mean, okay? How empowering is that, right? All of a sudden now we have information that you can act upon, and that's good news, not bad news, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
you get to act upon it. So Dr. Wes Youngbird, listen, thanks so much for joining us on Mental Health Exposed again. Really appreciate it. Love to have you back again in the future.
Always fun being on the show, Mike.
All right. Thanks again to my guest, Amy Weintraub of YogaForDepression.com and Wes Youngbird of Dr. Youngbird, DrYoungbird.com. While we have a couple of minutes left here and we're talking about depression, let me give you a couple of other ideas of things that you can do from the psychological realm to sort out your depression. One thing you can do, we've maintained this secret URL at the INLP Center for quite some time just for Natural News readers, but there's a free program that we have at the INLP Center called Tame the DMN. This is a whole other area that's associated with depression, particularly if you have a lot of autopilot thinking, if your mind tends to run away with you, if you have a hard time quieting your mind, or if you feel like you live in a dark cloud and you just don't experience an inner calm, then there's a lot of research to suggest that this kind of activity is associated with the brain's default mode network. And they've actually done functional MRI studies to suggest that this brain network that's responsible for kind of an ocean of inner commotion, when we're not thinking about anything and our mind is just sort of running away with us, again, when we're not thinking about something intentionally, this default mode network is overactive. So we actually have a program that gives you specific tasks that you can do, cognitive tasks, simple things that you can do to turn off your default mode network. And I don't mean that, and I'm not saying that lightly. This has actually been studied and validated. So the way to get this program, there's a workbook, there are several audio guides. It's actually quite a comprehensive program. Go to the inlpcenter.com/natural news. inlpcenter.com/natural news. It's a secret URL. You don't have to put your email address in. You go there, the program is there waiting for you. Invest a couple of hours in this program. You'll be glad that you did. That's it for today. Thanks for joining us on Mental Health Exposed. We'll look forward to talking with you again real soon.